When defending a biblical doctrine or practice, have you ever been accused of not caring for the lost? I've written a column in the latest issues, etc. journal titled Playing the Mission Card. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jeremy Lamont recounts his slow and sometimes painful path out of Mormonism to the Lutheran confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. A hymn summarizing the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, who from heaven above. The Lord's Prayer is, of course, the perfect prayer because it is composed by Jesus himself. But how is it an immeasurable gift to the Christian believer, and how does it, well, thereby, Jesus fulfill the law of prayer for us? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, May the 26th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll talk about the gift of the Lord's Prayer with Dr. John Bombaro, author of a column titled Plagiarizing Jesus. Dr. Jordan Cooper will be with us to respond to Calvinist proof text today, Malachi 1, and that's verses 2 and 3 about Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. Pastor Tom Baker will be alongside to teach a Sunday school lesson on Joseph, how God works good for Joseph in Genesis 39 and 41. And then Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will round everything off. We'll talk about the Los Angeles Dodgers invitation to an anti-Catholic group for Pride Day. Dr. John Bombaro is Director of Theological Education for Eurasia for the Office of International Mission of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of a column titled Plagiarizing Jesus. Dr. Bombaro, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. It's nice to be with you once again.
You say that Jesus invites us to plagiarize him. What do you mean by that?
Well, the substance of this idea really comes from Pastor Paul Willeber out in San Diego. He had given a talk at one of our catechism convocations entitled All Theology is Plagiarism, and it applied perfectly to the Lord's Prayer. And if you think about what our Lord Jesus says, he says to take his yoke upon ourselves because it's light and easy. And he wants us to take himself, and even his own righteousness is our own. And this is simply another dimension of his own provision. So our Lord had lots of good reasons for cultivating what we could probably call generations of plagiarizing disciples. And this is because he gives us his word as sheer gift. He gives us his righteousness as sheer gift. This is another instance of Jesus being gracious toward us by giving us something that we need. And so the Lord says, when you pray, say particularly this. And it comes out in the words of the Lord's Prayer.
How do you respond to many Christians who think that praying the Lord's Prayer is an empty ritual or vain repetition?
Well, the Lord's Prayer is, to the Christian life, what holy baptism is to regeneration, where we appropriate the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Christ for our righteousness and our salvation. So, in other words, if the work of Christ is of one piece, then his gift of the perfect prayer is meant for our sanctification. And it's to bring us comfort, and particularly the comfort of the gospel. Because in giving us this gift, he has provided all things necessary for us to be at peace with God. And so it's not vain repetition to say things like, I love you, or I need you, I forgive you. And all of those are very formulaic words and expressions, and for a reason. It's because they preserve inherently meaningful words. And take reconciliation, for example. We use very specific words. You don't simply say, hey, I'm sorry for this, and the response isn't, well, don't worry about it, or it's okay. No, the problem is that there's actually been a fracturing, and it's not okay. Now, to assuage consciences, we use very particular words. I'm sorry for X. I apologize. Do you forgive me? Yes, I forgive you. And the result is reconciliation. Likewise with the Lord's Prayer. it sets us on a course of meaningful words and not vain babbling. And not to mention, it's Jesus who gave us this prayer, and he expels us to use it. So it's no more vainly repetition than to hear the gospel again, or of receiving holy absolution again, or communing with the flesh of Christ again. These are gifts given for our sanctification, for our comfort, and for our assurance that he has provided all things.
Some have asserted that we should call this prayer the disciples' prayer, since they were the ones who were to pray it. How do you respond to that?
Well, it doesn't have its origins with the disciples. And really, the onus of the prayer, the power and profundity of it, the efficacy of this prayer, the representation of this prayer, all belong to Jesus himself, not to the disciples. So the disciples of Jesus will be praying, and Jesus says, when you pray, say this. But he has to give them something that they will know is in fact the perfect prayer, that despite whatever failings they have in their own conversation, communion with God, this is the one thing that they know that the Lord himself has given to them, and they can echo back words that are certainly true. And so, you know, just as Jesus makes a provision for us in other ways, so too Jesus makes a provision in this prayer and settles for us the dilemma of having to do prayer on our own and under our own strength. So Jesus not only fulfills, I think, here the law of prayer and wins for us the Holy Spirit, he actually gives us these words that we know avail before the Father.
What do you mean that there is a divine expectation that we converse with God?
This goes right back to creation, and St. Augustine picks up on this. He says, O Lord, thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find their repose in thee. And Luther narrates kind of the same thing in the Small Catechism, how the Lord has made us his own. So we're talking about a relationship with many dynamics. There's the dynamic of family, the dynamic of servitude, disciple, citizen, and all of these are about interpersonally relating to God through words, indeed through the word. And if nothing else, we belong to the king and live in his kingdom. And there is an ethic to the kingdom with expectations that we live and serve according to the spirit of the kingdom. In other words, that we give an accounting, a daily accounting unto the king. Jesus talks about this with respect to the parable of the talent. Well, all of us have been given gifts to serve the king. More than that, though, there's the accountability and relationship of in love with the Lord. So in this respect, the oughtness of prayer, because we should be praying and must be praying, the oughtness of prayer puts prayer in the domain of law.
So in that vein, how does our sin prevent us from praying as we ought?
Well, we ought to pray, as the scriptures say. It's just that we really don't. And now we have to ask the question about the standard of God. What are the standards with respect to prayer and to the law? Well, the standard is always perfection. There is no downgrading of divine expectation. In fact, we have this summed up in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So what we're required to do in terms of the law, all of it, not only outwardly, but also inwardly in terms of a disposition of the heart. Hence, the scriptures tell us, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind and with all of your strength. Praying as we ought, then, really is an impossibility for us under the law. And here comes Jesus, as his disciples are asking about prayer, giving them what they need, because our sin prevents us from doing so. The weakness of our flesh, our inability to conceive of God as we ought, the failure and weakness of our faith and belief, the ill-placed questions, the nature that we have that is curved in on ourselves, and our Lord Jesus, in his great love for us, in his provision, even assuages our consciences with respect to prayer by giving us the perfect prayer.
What's the danger of, in essence, fabricating our own prayers to the neglect of the Lord's Prayer?
Yeah, well, the key part there is the neglect of the Lord's Prayer. We're not only going to say the Lord's Prayer. St. Paul admonishes us to pray continually, to always be in prayer. You get a wonderful admonishment in Philippians chapter 4 that we should be anxious for nothing, but in all things and with prayer and thanksgiving to make our requests known unto God. The danger is this, is to think that this aspect of our human responsibility and our response to the Creator is something for which we don't need Jesus. To say to the Lord, I got this, and this is what I do for you. Here's a condition of my salvation. Here's a condition of my sanctification that Jesus doesn't need to fulfill because I self-fulfill it. That's the danger of fabricating our own prayers to the neglect of the Lord's Prayer. So in saying the Lord's Prayer, not only are we communing with God in words that are honest and true, it is also a form of creed, a confessing that Jesus and all of his provision for us has availed for our salvation. To pray the Lord's Prayer is an ultimate expression of faith in Jesus himself.
We're talking with Dr. John Bombaro, Director of Theological Education for Eurasia for the Office of International Mission of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. He's author of a column titled Plagiarizing Jesus. We're discussing the gift of the Lord's Prayer. On the other side of the break, does he mean to say that we should only pray the Lord's Prayer? When defending a biblical doctrine or practice, have you ever been accused of not caring for the lost? I've written a column in the latest issues, etc. journal titled Playing the Mission Card. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jeremy Lamont recounts his slow and sometimes painful path out of Mormonism to the Lutheran confession. The free online Issues, etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Psalm 144:1. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Those serving in the armed forces want LCMS chaplains. We need courageous pastors to bring the gospel and sacraments to those protecting our nation, along with wise counsel and the peace found only in Christ Jesus. If you are between the age of 26 and 43 and have a heart for ministry in the armed forces, call 314-996-1337 or email lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Mount Zion Lutheran Church in Greenfield, Wisconsin is a congregation of those gathered by the Spirit of the Lord around His saving word and sacraments. At the center of our life together is the divine service of the risen Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain, who takes away the sin of the world. If you are in the Milwaukee area, we invite you to share with us in our Lord's gifts of forgiveness and new life. Services are on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m. For more information, visit our website at mountziongreenfield.org.
Register today. The 2023 Lutherans for Life National Conference is October 11th through the 13th at the Holiday Inn Cincinnati Airport in Erlanger, Kentucky. The conference includes visits to the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum. Online registration is open now with early bird pricing at lutheransforlife.org/conference. Lutherans for Life, equipping Lutherans and their neighbors to be gospel-motivated voices for life. lutheransforlife.org.
Our Heavenly Father wants to comfort us. He provides that comfort and assurance in tangible ways. When we long to be drawn closer to the Lord, we can turn to the church, which is His body on earth. Through His body, Jesus has provided His word and His sacraments to nurture our faith and sustain us in our walk with Him. An excerpt from the Issues, etc., Book of the Month for May, Gathered by Christ, the Overlooked Gift of the Church. You can order this from Concordia Publishing House by giving them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page of the website, issuesetc.org. Dr. John Bombaro is our guest. We're talking about the gift of the Lord's Prayer. So before the break, you made the case that we do not pray as we ought, under the law of prayer, so to speak. Our prayers always fall short in many ways, and Christ has given us this perfect prayer in the Lord's Prayer. Are you meaning to say that we should only pray the Lord's Prayer?
No, indeed, not that we pray only the Lord's Prayer, because the Lord's Prayer does not comprehend all of the dimensions and emotions, circumstances, and situations in our lives. Indeed, we find Jesus praying a variety of different prayers. So it's not simply exclusively. It's particularly this prayer on when I particularly think we're wondering about the oughtness of prayer, or when we're failing in prayer, or when we simply don't know what to say. I think about pastoral visits in which the conversation has gone quiet. You know, perhaps it's been a heavy counseling session, or alternatively, near end of life. And then there just aren't words that I can provide, or indeed that we can share together, except for this. Or when we turn to these words, these are the perfect words of prayer, the words that Jesus has given us. As we know, he is en route to the cross of victory for us and the resurrection to follow. So Jesus gives this to us, I think, supremely to highlight that it is sheer gospel, that this aspect of the life of a Christian, the life of anyone who is following the one and only true and living God, knows that they ought to be in conversation, concourse with God, and to assuage their consciences, knowing that he has provided even this.
We have called it the perfect prayer, and while it doesn't address the particulars of every circumstance of life, is it comprehensive in two senses? It does cover everything we need, maybe not all the particulars that we may desire or want, but it also is comprehensive in the sense that we can be completely assured that God answers every petition according to his will.
And not only every petition, but every circumstance that could possibly arise can be found within there, whether it be of need or of hurt and pain, conflict with others, forgiveness, doubt. All of it is packed in there, and supremely his will that his kingdom, his ruling and reigning by the Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit through grace, mercy, truth, peace, and love would be done on earth. And as Luther says, in us and for us as it is in heaven. So in that sense, yes, the Lord's Prayer is astonishingly comprehensive, which makes it applicable in almost every circumstance. Really, I think that prayers around the table at the end of the night, the capstone for the prayer that gives us that assurance that indeed, whatever we have said this night, at least they are bound up with this perfect prayer that goes before Christ, who we know makes intercession for us along with the Holy Spirit. To conclude our prayers by saying, Lord Jesus, teach us to pray as you would have us confess your kingdom, and then we say the Lord's Prayer together. This is a fine way to instruct your children, to end your evenings. When you, as I did today, boarded a plane, I said the Lord's Prayer. When we landed, I gave thanks to the Lord in the Lord's Prayer again. So it's fitting for every circumstance because it is indeed that comprehensive.
You said a moment ago that Jesus giving us the Lord's Prayer is pure gospel. Go into some more detail.
Our Lord Jesus Christ has liberated us from even the oughtness of prayer, and with his own words has transformed what could be our ignorant stammering. He's transformed that into a soul-satisfying communion with God. And he does so by giving us permission to plagiarize words that are perfect. And they come from him who was made flesh for our salvation. So it's in gifting us with this perfect prayer that accords with the will of God that Jesus has turned our imperfect prayers from a point of failing condemnation, doubt, insecurity, into the sweet gift of the gospel, so that in saying it and confessing it, we're engaging in exercise of confident security. Yeah, so we have to remember this is the gift. And all gifts from the Lord are coming by his grace to us. Jesus gave this gracious gift to his disciples so that we can rest in the gospel that's accomplished for us because Jesus himself has fulfilled all of the conditions. So we don't need to strive to be a prayer warrior or an eloquent person of prayer to evidence our righteousness or our love or our effectiveness in prayer. Jesus has provided all the righteousness and all the merit when he lives the perfect life before the law, before God, and then he gifts it with us. It's his righteousness that then becomes ours, imputed to us over the course of our whole life, even the perfect prayer, so that any concern about performing on our part is gone, and we're liberated to pray to God, be it never so inarticulately or failingly.
How does the Lord's Prayer then go on, since it is not only a prayer, but it is in fact the living and active Word of God? How does it go on to shape our prayer and our understanding of prayer?
Well, this goes back to how our conversation started, and that is with this quote pretty much from Prosper of Aquitaine, lex orandi, lex credendi, that the law or the rule of what is prayed determines or shapes the role of what is confessed or believed. And here's the point. It establishes and it evidences right belief. What is right belief? To trust in Jesus Christ to make full provision for us. Jesus fulfills perfect belief and perfect faith on our behalf, and this prayer evidences both for us, again, to assuage all doubts, so that when we pray it, we're expressing our confidence in Jesus Christ himself, that he has fulfilled all things for us, and his enduring love and provision for us by giving it to us as a gift to plagiarize at will.
So is this what you mean when you say that by giving us the Lord's Prayer, Jesus fulfills the law of prayer for us?
Yes, that's exactly right. He is fulfilling the dynamic of not only the oughtness of it, but also praying to the Father requires trusting the Father. And what kind of trust is worthy of the Father? Perfect trust. What kind of belief or conception of God? It must be accurate. It must be perfect. Jesus fulfills even the right addressing to God on our behalf, and so liberates us again from the inabilities of our own mind, the failings of our own conceptions, the inwardness with which we are frequently bent with respect to our prayers, or simply praying because we know not how and not as we ought. And so all of this Jesus is fulfilling in the law of prayer, fulfilling also the law of belief and of faith and gifting it to us. Our mere confession of it is an expression that we trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ to save us to the uttermost.
What is the comfort of having the Lord's Prayer?
Well, we have to go back to who's praying it, because it was Jesus's prayer, and because Jesus has given it to me. I know that if all else fails, if nothing else, the Father hears this prayer. And of course, we know he hears the prayers of a righteous person. That is the person who is baptized into Christ and clothed with his righteousness. But how much more so when I can't even get the words out, whether it be because of emotion or fatigue? Jesus has given us a prayer that we know avails. And so the Father hears, and we have this token of Christ's love and provision for us. The Father's attentiveness, because we're praying the prayer of the perfect one in perfect words that were given as a gift to us. So yes, it goes back to that whole idea of it being the disciples' prayer because they're the ones to pray it, but it misses the point of the gospel. Jesus prayed this prayer first. He uttered the perfect prayer. And then taking that prayer and making it an institution and putting it in our lips fulfills all righteousness on our behalf and allows us to have this source of comfort.
Dr. John Bombaro is Director of Theological Education for Eurasia for the Office of International Mission of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of a column titled Plagiarizing Jesus. You can read it at issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. John, thank you very much.
It's always a pleasure, Todd. Thank you.
Dr. Jordan Cooper joins us on the other side of the break. We'll continue our longstanding series with him responding to Calvinist proof texts, talking about Malachi 1, verses 2 and 3, Jacob I loved, and Esau I hated, right after this. How do you respond to the assertion, "I like Jesus, but I'm not sure about the church"? Find out in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Gathered by Christ, the Overlooked Gift of the Church. Learn more about this new resource at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Gathered by Christ, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040.
Does this sound like your church budget process at the end of the year? You get last year's budget and go through with a committee line by line, maybe what we should spend next year. Maybe you have a prayer. But where's the Word of God in this process? When do the people hear what the small catechism says about giving and why we do it? Contact us at LCMS Stewardship so that we can help you fix this process, put the Word of God first, and put your congregation on a good footing. lcms.org/stewardship.
Memoria Press is a family-run publisher of classical Christian education materials for homeschools and private schools. Every page of the Memoria Press curriculum leads students to a mastery of content, an understanding of the classical heritage of the Christian West, and an appreciation of truth, goodness, and beauty. If you're interested in learning more, visit memoriapress.com and use the coupon code LPR23. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. memoriapress.com.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things: the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us: broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.